I'm on. Right, good to be with you again this morning. For those of you who don't know me, there might be one or two, my name's Dave Collett. I'm a visitor here, and that's probably about my sixth or seventh time, maybe. So, yeah, it's always good when you get invited back to a place. and I work for an organisation called Good Soil. And part of what we do is to tell people about the love of Jesus. And it's amazing, isn't it? Just singing that song there, talking about his love and his amazing love that sets us free. And we live in a society, okay, there's lots of doom and gloom around, but do you know what? God is the answer to all that doom and gloom. And it's exciting. And it's exciting to see that God wants to transform lives. And so I'm an evangelist, so I go out telling people about Jesus. And it was interesting today. I was I had to go and get a truck to come out here this morning. And as I was filling up with fuel, I saw a lad who I kind of know. I don't know him greatly, but I gave him a lift into Worcester Town Centre. And he's a lad who's, I found out a little bit about him previously. He's a lad who went to prison for being involved in the manslaughter of another man. And I think he served about 9 years in prison. But now he's on drugs. And I was just talking to him this morning, and his life is just built on shame and guilt. And he can't deal with that situation. You know, being somebody who's killed somebody. And you know what? My God loves him. Okay? And wants to free him from that. And give him life. And do you know what a saviour we have? And, you know, if you think to yourself, oh, well, that must be quite difficult. Just look at the Apostle Paul. Okay? The one of the main New Testament apostles. Who was a nasty piece of work, and he met with Jesus, and Jesus transformed his life. And folks, that is the good news of the gospel. That is good news, that it can take people who are imprisoned, whose lives are a mess, and he can turn them round and bring life. And that's what we're about at Good Soil. Part of my background was in policing, and I had a heart for people who were stuck in that cycle, really. And so through our farming project, we get people out onto the farm and for them to experience some work and life. And we're just currently in the process of buying a house. And I think I may have said that last time I was here. It's just proving a bit problematic. There's a house over the road from me that we're looking to buy, and the seller is just a bit nervous, and we're having to jump through some hoops. So I'd really value your prayer in. I'm pushing that through, really, because it's been a long time. We've been waiting for this house, and the house will be a safe place where people can grow. And working alongside in the farm as well, it's just giving people a structure and demonstrating love. You know, we live in a world, don't we, where I think we're full of words, and I'm a great believer in the word of God. Please don't think anything else. But people need to see the gospel in action. Not just hear it, they need to see it. And so basically they need to see the love of Jesus through us in situations. And as the house gets nearer, the more nervous I get. my wife and I were thinking, yeah, it'd be great to have a house opposite us where we could have people in. The nearer we get, we're thinking, oh, heck, what are we doing? But we're just relying on the power and the grace of God to transform lives. And so that's a little bit about what we're about. And if you want to hear more about it, please come and speak to me afterwards. I can take your email address, and we can give you updates through prayer letters and stuff. And we've just got this new scheme as well. I'm not after your money, but if God prompts you, this is just an interesting scheme at the moment. It's called Let It Grow. All right? And what it is we're just asking people for £1 a week. Now, in today's money, that's half a latte or half a cappuccino. So that's £4 a week. Sorry?
It's not even that.
So it's just, so what we're asking for is about £4 a month. So if anybody fancies doing that, and we've called it Let It Grow, because I think last time I was here, I was talking about the glory of God coming behind. And you know, when we plant a seed and we water it and do the little bits, God does the amazing bits and produces the fruit and the miracle. And that's what my God does. So just by giving a little pound, we're just trusting God to make it grow and to do great things. So if you're interested, come and see me. I've only got two, but I can send some more out. So there's some forms there. But right, okay, let's get in and see what God wants to say to us this morning. And I've got a title this morning. I was just thinking of everybody here, and I thought we'll look at running this morning. I wish I could take a photograph of all your faces. Okay, it doesn't look too... I'm at the wrong church. Can I tell you, I haven't spoken this message to any other church. So I don't know whether God was prompting me to tell you to have a twinning running club. Does that inspire anybody? No. But I'm going to read a passage now from John 20, 1 to 10. And I'll read it from here. And as we see, there's a lot of running in this passage. And I just want to encourage us to run to the Lord Jesus. Running to the Lord Jesus. Okay, so don't panic, everybody. But if somebody wants to do a running club, carry on. Okay, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Okay, yeah, I'll leave it there. Okay, so I mentioned that we're going to be looking at running, and we're just going to use this as a base, and we'll be flicking around some different scriptures as well. But when we run, we're being intentional, aren't we? We often run to a place because we're really being intentional. Sometimes when we're walking and strolling along, we may not be intentional, but running almost shows an intention. And do you know what? When success is always intentional, being successful is always intentional. And I just want us to encourage us this morning to be intentional of our pursuit for Jesus in everything we do. And running to him, you know, we see here in this passage, we'll see that the people are running to him because they love him. Okay? And by what they see, it causes them to run. And we're just going to have a little look at this. So we've got Mary Magdalene here, haven't we? Mary Magdalene, who's going to visit the tomb where she expects Jesus to be. Okay? And Mary Magdalene isn't going to the tomb because of faith. If the disciples had realised what the scriptures and what Jesus had been saying, that he was going to rise again, they would have permanently camped at the tomb, wouldn't they? And waited for the resurrection day. But they didn't have full understanding. But Mary Magdalene went to the tomb of Jesus because she loved him. And there's no mention of many other people visiting the tomb. Just Mary. And it's really interesting, isn't it? She was going there to the tomb, and from that, she wasn't going to receive any advantage or benefit. You know, it's easy to love somebody when we think we're going to receive. Okay? It might be difficult to love somebody when we're not going to receive anything back. Okay? So when we think of Jesus and his ministry, his miraculous ministry, people were flocking to him, weren't they? The crowds were flocking to him because they thought they could be healed. They thought they could be fed. And they thought they were going to see miraculous signs and wonders. Where were they all? Here. It was just Mary Magdalene who went to visit the tomb because she loved him. And she loved him with all her heart. Okay, with everything she had. And it was a demonstration of love. And she went to the tomb because she wanted to see, you know, how he had been treated. Because how Jesus was being treated affects us, affected her. And that was her demonstration of love, going to the tomb. Okay? And I was looking at a verse the other day in Chronicles, and I've been looking at love quite a bit, and God wants us to love us and love him with all our heart. You know, we're just singing that last hymn, which demonstrates God's love for us, that he laid everything aside because he loves you and he loves me. He went to the cross because he loves us. And he was broken. Okay, and there's a verse here in 1 Chronicles. Okay, and this is David, King David, speaking to his son Solomon. And he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Now, David in his life, okay, made some mess ups. But he sought the Lord with all his heart, okay, and with a willing mind. And he was advising his son, you know, there'll be things in life, Solomon, that may draw your heart away. But have a loyal heart to God. Okay, and seek him with all your heart. Mary Magdalene was going to the grave because everything, she loved the Lord with all her heart. Okay, and she had a loyal heart. In Psalm 86, it says this. Psalm 86, verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." No? And we live in a world, don't we, where our heart has been pulled in different directions. And God has encouraged us, unite our heart, Lord, that it's all for you. Everything is for you. I've just over the last 5 or 6 weeks, started a group at my house that meets on a Wednesday afternoon. And I get some people who are maybe on the streets or suffering with addictions and stuff, and they come and we just open the Bible, and we're going through the Bible at the moment, and we're calling it Popeye. It's not, that is P-O-P-I, which means press on and press in. Okay, we're pressing on together, and we're pressing in to Jesus. That's what the group's called. So don't think of the cartoon character, but there could be quite a few links if we want to. And we were just looking at Cain and Abel the other week. Why did God reject Cain's offering but accept Abel's? And that's all about heart. It's all about heart, that Abel loved God with all his heart. And Cain didn't. He didn't have a loyal heart. It was divided. Okay? I was also looking at the story of Abraham. You know, when God said to Abraham, "I'm going to test you about your son." Okay? What was God doing there? It's about faith, but it's also about, is your heart for me, Abraham? Okay, that's a question I want to ask myself and you this morning. Where's your heart? You know, God gave his son Jesus for us. And where's our heart to him? Is our heart to love him? You know? And I want to say, when our heart is for God, okay, the unexpected happens. Mary goes to the tomb, right, because she loves Jesus, and she meets the unexpected. Okay? The stone is rolled away. Now just imagine that. It's quite a chaotic scene, isn't it? Okay, we can try and tidy it up all we like, but she's gone to a tomb and the stone's rolled away. You know, anxiety, all sorts of feelings would come in there, wouldn't there? Okay, and what does she do? Okay, she runs. Okay, and she runs. And I want to say to you, God will speak to you in your life if you seek him with all your heart. And when he does, I want to encourage you to run. Okay? Don't ponder and walk in it. Just run in what he's opened up for you. Okay? Because Mary at this point, she didn't see Jesus, but something, Jesus had invaded her life, hadn't he? He wasn't there. Something unexpected was happening that caused Mary to run. And sometimes, you know, when God gives you an excuse, run. Run into it. And follow what God's got to do. And you know, this book, the Bible, is all about God invading people's lives, and that they've got a choice of whether they run into it or not. And Mary Magdalene, she runs and she goes to Peter, and it says the other disciple, which is John, the one who Jesus loved. Okay, and what does it say they did? Quite an easy. They started running. And they started running together. Okay, the two of them ran together towards the tomb. Okay? And research says that Peter was a bit older than John. The old man was running with the young man. There was no disagreement. They knew the direction they were going. And when you start this running club at Twinning, okay, my challenge to you is, who are you running with? Okay, who are you running with? Because it's good to run with people. Okay, you see this, the Peter was running with a younger man here, and we need to be running with people. And don't let your heart be deceived as well, because if you're not running with other Christians, your heart will be divided. Run with people. Okay, older people teach younger people, and sometimes they'll overtake you like they did in this story here, because we want them to be running towards Jesus, okay, and what he's got in store for them. And can I encourage you to run with people, run the gospel with people, and encourage one another. Okay, and they were running after him. I just wanted to have a look at what's the importance of running with God. What's the importance of running with God? And I just thought of two characters. And I was thinking of Noah. You know, I was talking about that Popeye group I run in the week. We were looking at Noah this week, actually. And there's a verse in Genesis that said this: "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Okay? Everything Noah did was as God commanded him. All right, and he was building this ark, and he took many years to build this ark that God had told him to build. All right, and I've often heard it said, but I've never found it in Scripture that he was mocked for building the ark. But I can't find that. But one thing I can see, which is the same today as I see today, is a real apathy. Is a real apathy within the world. And I want to encourage you, when you're running after Jesus, okay, don't let the world affect you with its apathy. Because it's easy to get dragged down. So Noah was there, banging, crashing, walloping, tarring. What else would he have been doing? Nailing. I don't know. What else? Planing. Any other words you can help me out with? Drawing? Soaring. Soaring, yeah. I'll go for soaring. Yeah, he'd have been doing that. And he'd been doing that for years and years, and people have been looking on at that and not bothered because they were occupied with something else. And sometimes we can get affected by that. Okay? So you, in this church, okay, may be upset by the apathy of what's happening in the village outside these doors. Would you say that's a fair comment? Okay. Can I encourage you just to keep running to Jesus? Because when you do, things will happen. The unexpected will happen. All right? And I think that's really important for you, is run to him. Noah wasn't affected by the world around him. He carried on building. He carried on building. And he, you know, somebody was said to me in the group the other day, I wasn't really thinking about it, but he said, people would have seen the animals getting into the ark. Seemed quite a miraculous event there. But their apathy blinded them. But Noah was running after Jesus, running after God and what God told him to do. He didn't let the world affect him. Please don't let what's happening outside affect you. Keep running to Jesus and the unexpected will happen. Okay? Let that be your focus. Are we going to be runners? Yeah. Okay? That wasn't very excitable, that. Don't worry, I don't run. I ought to run. Okay? Because as I was saying, instead of just being heard, we need to be seen. Okay, so when Noah was building that boat, he'd have been speaking, and they would have seen what he was doing. And as communities, we need to be seeing what we're doing, as well as our words. It was I went to a day conference this week, and I was going to show a YouTube clip, but I'm not clever enough to download YouTube clips. I don't know how those things work. Has anybody ever heard of the Wall of Answered Prayer? No? Well, if you go home and put in the Wall of Answered Prayer by a chap called Richard Gamble. I only heard about this week. But this chap, he's a chap from England, and he had a word from God that he's going to build a wall, right, of 1 million bricks. Okay, and on every brick is going to be an answered prayer printed. What this is going to be, he's looking for a site by the side of a motorway that this work of art is not just going to be a plain wall, it's going to be a sculpture like the Angel of the North. And he wants people to see this sculpture, okay, every time they drive down the motorway. And it's a monument to the answered prayers of God. Okay? And I thought, wow. Okay, God told him this, and he's had a lot of apathy, a lot of anti, but he's just looking for plots of land potentially at the moment around Birmingham. He's got some architects that have got five designs, they're going to choose another design, and I thought, wow, isn't that amazing in our country today? That potentially, in some years' time, there could be a monument like the Angel of the North that we can say, that's the Wall of Answered Prayer. That excites me. Okay, get home, look at it, the wall on YouTube. Have a look at it. And if you can, play it here, because I found it really inspiring. And so, be passionate about running. I struggle to say that statement myself. But be passionate about running to Jesus. Okay? Be passionate, because he wants to show the unexpected. Peter, the other character, and this is a really important point as well. Can you remember when Peter went back fishing after Jesus had died and been resurrected? He almost said, forget this, I'm going back fishing. And then there was a chap that was walking on the beach. It was Jesus, but he didn't know it, and said, cast your nets out. And he cast his nets out and caught massive, massive catch. What did Peter do then? Does anybody know? It says he plunged into the sea. I know it's not running, but you can catch my drift, can't you? He is heading towards Jesus. Okay? He is making his way like a madman. Okay? Jumping in the sea and heading towards Jesus. Now that there's something that may have prevented him from doing that. And that was his history. No, because don't forget, he denied Jesus. He'd messed up big time. But he headed towards Jesus. Now, I want to say to you, when you're running after Jesus, your history won't affect you. okay? Your history won't affect you. I know so many people, okay, like that lad I was talking to about you know, the fact that he'd been found guilty of a manslaughter. I know he's had massive difficulties in his life. And there is a tendency in our world to try and tidy ourselves up, then come to Jesus. Okay, let me just tidy this out, make myself a bit more presentable. Okay, and it's funny, isn't it funny, when some people come to church, they put their best clothes on to try and make themselves look tidy if they don't know him. Okay, Jesus isn't asking for that. He's saying, come as you are. I will sort your history out. Okay, and that is what the cross is all about, isn't it? And today, the good news of the gospel is coming to a saviour who forgives us and sorts out all our issues as we walk with him. Not walk. What am I saying? We're not walking, are we? We're running. Okay? Okay? And sometimes that running to Jesus, Satan will always try and attack us there. You can't go to him because of your history, because of what you've done. But Jesus is saying, come to me. All I want you to bring is your sin. And I will sort your history out. I will make you a new creation. Okay? And I will give you life. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. Okay? Because when we run after him, our history won't affect us. Won't affect you. Because Jesus will sort it out. And I think those are some of the greatest problems we face in those two stories today, is apathy and people believing, not knowing the saving grace of God that will sort out our history. Okay? And those are the purposes we run to Jesus, because he sorts those out. He's a wonderful saviour. Okay? And, you know, we often talk about the good news. What is the good news of the gospel? It's the resurrection power of Jesus who meets us, who transforms us and gives us life. Okay? Now my question is, if we believe that is good news, why on earth wouldn't we start running? Okay? And I want to encourage you to run to him. And that's a message to me. And I just want to finish really on two scriptures. Two scriptures of warning, really. Okay? And they're both from Hebrews. And it says, this is Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Okay? If we hear from God in our lives, if we don't run in that course of action that he's giving us, we will drift. We will drift. Okay? And I want to warn you against that. Be intentional and run to what God is saying to you. And expect the unexpected. Okay? Because when we do that, if Simon and the disciple hadn't run to that tomb, okay, and realised what was going on, they wouldn't be aware of the resurrection power of Jesus. Okay? And if we don't run to him when he opens those doors to us, we may miss out on the resurrection power with that particular issue in our lives. Okay? And boy, I don't want to see that. I want to see the resurrection power in people's lives transforming them. Okay? And do you know what? That might mean me running with them at times. Come on, let's run together. Okay? I don't run. I might just start, but I want to run with people to see the resurrection power of Jesus. Okay? Now, the danger of that is I don't know how that looks sometimes. I don't know where I'm going with the run, but I'm running and trusting in Jesus to do that. Okay? All right. And this one, I've mentioned this before. This is the danger of not running. So if I'm invited back next time, I want to come back here. We could have a fancy dress, couldn't we? Where we could all turn up in our running gear. Perhaps not then, okay? But this verse here in Hebrews 12 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race is set before us. If we don't run, we'll be ensnared by sin. Okay, and those things that weigh us down. Okay? Okay, so God is encouraging us to run. Run to him with everything that we do. In every decision we make. God, I'm running to you. And I'm looking for your amazing resurrection power and provision as I look to you in everything I do. Okay? Is that exciting? Because that's for every single one of us. Okay? And when we run, we leave those things behind. Every weight. Ask a serious question now. I'm not asking you to answer out loud. Is there something that weighs you down? Okay? Is there a sin that easily ensnares you? Because if we're honest, there are. Okay? And it says, let us run with endurance. Okay? I always used to enjoy the 100 metres. Anything over 100 metres, not a chance. Okay? But it says, run with endurance. Okay? We're in a race, and God wants to release us from those things that ensnare us and weigh us down. That is the good news of the gospel. Running with a Saviour who loves and cares for us. Loves us that much that he laid down his life for us. Okay? So God isn't saying to us, we must love him. He loved us first. Okay? And it's a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say, can we scrap that last hymn, and can we sing that song again that we just sang? Here is love. Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Is that all right? And if you want to run on the spot as we sing it, you carry on. But